This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A giant sucking sound.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Every time Northwest Airlines starts up one of its planes, a huge amount of money is disappearing, like dollar bills being sucked into the engine. The company lost more than $1 billion in the first 3 months of the year. Maybe it should declare bankruptcy. Oh, that's right. It's already bankrupt. So what now? Here's Tess Figlin.
It's not uncommon to report losses while in bankruptcy, but $1.1 billion worth? That just makes it more difficult to convince anyone you'll ever emerge from Chapter 11. Richard Abulafia is an aviation analyst with the Thiel Group.
Years ago, they made the decision to retain over 150 aging DC-9s with some very thirsty engines. With fuel hitting up to $75 a barrel, it's tough to avoid losses.
Northwest has had some success reining in costs, but the airline remains hostage to the price of oil.
It's very tough to get out of this unless they merge with another carrier or unless the price of fuel comes back down. The alternative is an endless holding pattern.
Earlier this week, United Airlines reported a $306 million loss in its first quarterly report since emerging from bankruptcy in February. I'm Tess Vigland for Marketplace.
Oh, brother. Big brother. USA Today reports that since 9/11, the federal government has been keeping a record of almost every phone call made in the United States. Guess who gave this information to the National Security Agency? The phone companies. AT&T, Verizon, and Bell South are getting paid for it. The only big provider who's holding back is Quest. The newspaper says the NSA is not listening to or recording conversations. Oh, that makes me feel better. The telephone pole could be headed for the history bin. The phone companies have started selling off their wire lines. From the innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports.
If you answered a telephone back in 1950, it would pretty much sound the same as any landline phone does today. The service just costs more now, and fewer people are using it. Analyst Daniel Berninger with Tier 1 Research calls that a shrinking asset, one that Verizon Communications is eager to hang up on. A report in the Wall Street Journal stated that the lines could be worth $8 billion, but Berninger thinks the sale will bring in much less. Berninger says consumer defection to wireless and internet communication has pitted the infotech industry against the old telecom giants.
This is the end of a set of forces that have been playing out for 20 years. There's just no way to stop it. It's two big industries colliding, and only one of them is going to be left standing.
Verizon hopes the sale will help it expand its fiber optic network. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Copper has gotten so expensive that it now costs more than a penny to make a penny. 1.23 cents, to be exact. All the precious metals are around record highs. Zinc, platinum, aluminum. So it also costs more than a nickel to make a nickel. The Federal Reserve raised interest rates once again for the 16th time, but didn't tell investors much about next time around. The Dow closed up a couple points to 11,642, but the NASDAQ fell 17 to 2320. The S&P 500 fell 2 to 1322. Today, oil is trading at about $72 a barrel. Gold is $707 an ounce, and the dollar fell against the yen. This is Marketplace. Video game makers and players are hanging out in L.A. this week for the Electronic Entertainment Expo. One thing you won't find this year, scantily clad women. As Ethan Lindsay reports, there's a reason for it.
Video games are supposed to be kids' stuff, right?
Those people who believe that games are for little kids? Yeah, that was great. That was true like 20 years ago.
Pete Wanna is a producer at Vivendi Games. He's working on Scarface for mature gamers, but that market has matured. So developers are going back to the kids. Jeremy Taylor is a manager for THQ. The company's developing a game for the Nickelodeon movie Barnyard.
Kids really like to explore at their own pace. They like to decide whether they want to play with some friends.
And this week, the one-time king of the video game world says it's come up with another way to cater to kids. At E3, Nintendo is showing off the Wii game system, which it says it built with the youth market in mind. I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating women and women's health. Information and health resources on women's health issues available at womenshealth.gov. By the American Public Transportation Association, committed to making America energy independent through increased use of public transportation. On the web at publictransportation.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. A couple of years ago, if I told you that oil would be $70 a barrel and that gas would be $3 a gallon, first of all, you might tell me I was off my rocker. Then maybe you'd say, well, that would mean recession. But we're not in a recession. Quite the opposite right now. Chris Farrell is our economics correspondent. Hi, Chris.
How are you doing?
All right. So what's the deal?
For one thing, despite the SUVs and all the conversations about how much energy we use, the U.S. economy is about 60% more efficient if you compare today to the 1960s. Secondly, a lot of the higher price that we're seeing reflects strong economic growth. I mean, think what's happening with China, India. This economy has been growing. So I think that's why we are not having a recession. And, you know, lastly, gasoline is actually a fairly small part of most people's budget.
But at some point, don't these fuel prices have to squeeze some life out of the economy?
What is so stunning about this particular time that we're going through is there's been very little pass-through. I mean, if you get on an airplane, you can see there's some sort of surcharge. I mean, there are some surcharges around, but there's been very little pass-through. Everyone was expecting much higher inflation numbers. And Robert Samuelson, he's a columnist for Newsweek, and he made a really good point. We associate recessions with higher oil prices, and for good reason. Higher oil prices preceded five of our last recessions. But what was really going on there was inflation and the Fed fighting inflation. What we have this time is, yes, the Fed has been hiking its benchmark interest rate, but nothing like it did in the past, and we don't really have a whole lot of inflation.
What does our experience right now with these high gas prices tell us, if anything, about the potential impact of a gasoline tax, say if we had a higher tax?
Well, if we went back 2-3 years ago and we're talking about a 50-cent or a dollar gas tax, we'd be what? Probably around where we are right now. So obviously this economy is a lot stronger. It can absorb a higher tax than we thought before. And I think for legislatures and for citizens, that's the real lesson. No one really likes paying $3 a gallon. But what we're going to get from $3 a gallon is innovation, energy efficiency, and less dependence on Middle Eastern oil. Sounds to me like not a bad deal.
But I don't hear a lot of people talking about a gas tax anymore.
Gas tax, no. It's not on the horizon right now, but it's a way of really increasing our efficiency and innovation. That's the real key. At $3 a gallon, there is innovation going on. There are garages out there in Los Angeles and in Minneapolis and New York where people are really trying to come up with a better mousetrap because of the high price of energy.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Chris Farrell is also with our weekend program, Marketplace Money. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Every week.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.